Hey everyone, welcome to the Plant Based Morning Show. It is Tuesday, March 19th, and what do we got today, Doug? We're talking about plant-based ads doing their best Banksy impression, apparently, according to Veg News, along with the rise of plant-based diets in Korea, which brings with us an interesting twist. Before that, Doug, I'm sure we have plenty to get into regarding your weekend and mine. St. Patrick's Day came and went uneventful, I'd say, in my life. You could have basically not noticed that it was St. Patrick's Day, except for there was more people wearing green than usual at a soccer game.
Well, mine not so much. We had plenty of St. Patrick's Day festivities.
So. Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. We were going all out.
What does that exactly mean?
Sorry.
What does that exactly mean?
Oh, okay. we started drinking at 3 a.m. No, I'm just kidding. The kids were just like, so we set up leprechaun traps which is not a very vegan thing, I don't think, to trap a leprechaun. But apparently, as the story goes, I have no idea if this is a story my kid made up or if this is something that other kids do too. I have no idea. But if you trap a leprechaun, then they will tell you where they keep the pot of gold and their treasure.
Okay.
And in exchange for setting them free. So you're holding these leprechauns ransom.
Right. But then
we had leprechaun traps set up in both of the bedrooms.
Okay.
Which leprechauns apparently are attracted to shiny things. So we had lots of shiny things in a box with those propped up on a stick.
Mm-hmm.
And you walked in and took the stick.
Like the old rabbit traps I used to do in my backyard.
Exactly. Exactly. the old rabbit track.
Okay.
Trick. Unfortunately, we didn't catch any leprechauns.
No,
they just did leave us some notes.
Oh,
And some extra treasures.
Okay. And where does this end? At what point do the kids get told this is just a joke, guys? There's not actually leprechauns, or do they not?
I think that they just figure it out, right?
Okay.
I don't know. This was not led by us. You know, Santa, you know, that we lead that, right? Like that's
right.
This was not led by us. This was 100% led by the kids. And so we just went with it.
All right. Good. Sounds great. I had Irish soda bread. That was it. Erin made that before she went away on a trip. So we didn't have any big St. Patrick's Day food or anything like we talked about on Friday. By the way, we did a Friday afternoon plant-based morning show. For those who have been begging for that Friday show to come back, we did it this Friday afternoon with Isabel joining us. We may stick with that format. I'm not really sure quite yet what we'll do, but I think that's a good possibility is that we'll kind of make that Friday a morning show. It'll just be at that hour. So it'll be morning for the West Coasters or the Colorado types, like Isabel.
And maybe lean a little bit heavier into fitness and stuff.
Yeah, it's possible we'll do that, assuming we can find current fitness things to talk about.
You know what I did have before we move on from St. Patrick's Day? I had some Guinness, which was good. First time I had Guinness in a while. But also, we made forks, over knives is their Irish stew or something.
Okay. I saw they had a whole article of Irish things.
Mm-hmm. I had a bunch of cabbage in there and some beans.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't actually know what else was in there, but it was very delicious. It was very good.
Potatoes, maybe?
Potatoes. Yep. Lots of potatoes. Okay. That would be a big one.
Right. Good. All right. Well, that's not bad. It sounds okay. Was there any like seasonings, caraway seeds?
I didn't cook it. My mom cooked it. She had us over for dinner.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
But it was very good.
Yeah, good.
I'm sure there were plenty of seasoning.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, considering it's Irish food, there probably was like some salt and then probably
that's true.
There's not that much.
And forks over knives.
Seasoning. Right. Yeah. Another point. It might not even be salt if it was forks over knives. Okay. Well, good morning, people. Speaking of forks over knives, it's style diets. Here's Anne Marie. She says good morning. And she knows all about this Korean article we talked about. She reads the Washington Post. She and you, Doug, apparently are big Washington Post readers, I guess. Britters, good morning. She says, where's my fancy mic? She reminded me that my microphone was not next to me, but now it is. I hope I set the sound correctly. I'm kind of disheveled this morning. Anyway, other people here. Allie, Phyllis Hauser, Matt O'Connor, Kelly Kay, Dale Stevens, Jeff, and Mr. Jeffrey. They're all here. And they've all commented. Even if you're here but haven't commented, you're not going to get your name shouted out. So you got to do that part if you want us to say hello. All right. I don't have too much going on. Aaron's away. Went down to Florida for a bit. So I got the kids. We're in survival mode. Like I said, when I have the kids, we quarantine, basically. We minimize inputs, outputs. We just do what we can to get through the time. So we're doing that, driving to soccer practices and all that.
What are you cooking? Or are you not cooking?
Not much so far. Let's see. What was yesterday? It's like these quick, in a pinch, fast dinners. Like I haven't gotten like a grocery trip together. We should have done it ahead of time, gone to the grocery store. I am totally blank. Oh, yesterday we had Boca Burgers. So that was I picked them up at soccer practice, grabbed some frozen Boca Burgers, buns. We already had the fixins and had that along with some steamed broccoli. The broccoli was actually pretty good.
I'm curious about the choice of the Boca Burger versus all the plethora of other veggie burgers.
Mainly that it's cheaper and it seems like it's basically the same stuff. I mean, it doesn't have the saturated fat. Like, I don't want the Impossible or the Beyond because that comes with the coconut oil. So stay away from that stuff. And that's actually that's what's in most of the things is coconut oil. So that's another reason, I guess, why we choose Boca. And then the night before that, when I had the kids, we had sushi for dinner. We went, got to this local place, got some cucumber avocado sushi and some sweet potato as well. And that was good. So now
we had sushi. I took Eliza out for sushi on Saturday night as well.
Were you? Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, I guess technically that was my St. Patrick's Day dinner. Sushi. There you go.
Avocado is green. Cucumber is green.
Yeah, right. So there you go. All right. Matt O'Connor and others are... Bridger says she likes the Friday show. Matt O'Connor, another vote for it. So that's good. I wasn't sure how it would be received. Just a little different vibe with three people, but I think it's good. I like it. And I don't know. I think we may shift everything towards this format again. We will see. Okay. What else? Anything else, Doug? Do we need to know about any fitness updates? How's your Doug's wellness body appreciation plan going? Is that
great?
Good.
Excellent.
Breath work
is going well. I'm doing yoga every day, which is fantastic. Katie is like, making fun of me hardcore. She's been trying to get me to do more yoga for the last 12 years since I've known her.
Yeah.
and I just kind of randomly decided and then told her after a couple of days that I was doing it. And she was disappointed that I didn't involve her in that. No, not really. But she thought it was funny. But anyway, it's going great. I love it. I went on a long run this weekend. It's kind of motivated some other runs. Did a bunch of running this weekend, actually. So A+.
Good. Glad to hear. You know, I'm thinking about running again because my sleep problems, they've gotten a lot better in the past few weeks. And it's been when I had to taking some time off of fitness. And I have a very strong sense that I had this little back issue that I messed up with some kettlebell stuff, doing the wrong form for like a year. And it's never really gone away. My hip flares up and pretty much every night it bothers me. But I realized when I stopped doing squats and deadlifts, it stops bothering me. It stops hurting me. So now that I've like reintroduced fitness into my life, or after a few weeks off of weight training, I've started doing it again. I'm thinking I should just keep not getting the squats and deadlifts back yet and just, you know, do running for some lower body fitness. It's not going to be what I want. It's not really the strength that would like to develop. But at least for the time being, it might be a good way to, you know, not do nothing for my legs, but also keep sleeping well. So I think I'm going to do that. A little bit more running for me. So I'll have some stories to share, I'm sure. Of all the exciting things that happen when you...
I can't wait to hear. Like long or slow running or fast and short running? What do you think?
Probably just 20, 30 minute slow running.
Okay. All right. Well, I look forward to hearing about that.
Yeah, we'll see.
I wanted to say that I spent a good amount of time. I mean, by a good amount of time, I mean probably half an hour. Maybe not quite that long. 20 minutes on the Burger King app, submitting my build your own Whopper.
Okay.
Ideas to win $1 million, but also because I want that vegan Impossible patty to be one of the finalists.
Right.
So I'm curious if I was to say design a burger from scratch, what would you, because you, the way it works is you can like literally add anything to it as long as it's edible and doesn't have a peanut allergy or something like that. Those are the two rules.
Well, how do you add anything? Like, where do you, they have an interface where you can just, it just searches all known foods?
Yeah, it's interesting. You like basically type in, so like, you know, you type in, I don't know, asparagus, and then there's an AI tool that like adds asparagus to it. So you're not choosing from a list of ingredients or anything like that. You're able to kind of build your own burger from scratch.
So I could type in anything there.
Anything that's edible and doesn't have peanuts.
Okay. If I type in something non-edible, it'll say, sorry, non-edible choice.
It might just disqualify the burger. I'm not sure.
Ah, okay.
I didn't try that.
Okay. All right. What would I do? I don't know. Boca patty. I don't know. I have no idea. What do you put on? I mean, okay. I like buffalo sauce flavored things. So that
buffalo. That's good. Okay. There you go.
All right. What'd you do? What'd you put on there?
So you could
so many submit, toppings on there.
You could submit three. So I did three. The first one was just a very classic vegan burger. Like, cause there's no vegan cheeseburger option at Burger King. So I said, you know, it's probably not going to get selected, but it needs to be submitted. Just, I need a vegan burger. So it's the Impossible Patty. Cause that's the vegan patty option that they have.
Right.
And then I just did vegan cheese, vegan mayo, vegan lettuce, or lettuce and tomato. And that was it.
Okay. So yes, you did vegan mayo. So not a no mayo. Cause the current one.
Oh yeah. No. And it was vegan cheese. And yeah. So I did vegan mayo, vegan cheese.
Okay. That's good.
And that one's not going to get selected. I know it.
Probably somebody else might have made the same burger.
I'm sure they've had that idea before. The next idea was a southern twist. So it had coleslaw and fried green tomatoes on it.
Okay. Kind of good.
Impossible patty. And then the next one was a spicy burger, which, you know, there's a chance that maybe a spicy melt, vegan melt would win or get some interest. So, vegan stallion. There was onion on the southern burger. So the spicy one was jalapenos, a spicy mayo, spicy vegan mayo. I think it might have had cheese on it, and may have had onion as well. I can't remember. But that's how it went. What I wanted to do was a Mexican burger where you wrapped it in tortilla, but you had to do bun. it had to have a bun.
There's no crunch wrap option for a
no crunch wrap option.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's good. So I didn't really think about this. It's not an Impossible Whopper contest, right? That's just one eligible patty you can pick.
You can pick the regular patty or the Impossible patty. That's
okay.
Right.
So is there any chance they would make a vegan burger that like isn't an option in regular form? Like that they pick Doug Southwest burger.
Uh-huh.
Can you imagine any world in which Burger King puts that on the menu? But it's only Impossible. There's no, you can't get the regular omnivorous option.
And vegan mayo and vegan cheese. No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
But I guess
and I was
that
even
one...
tempted to like, I was even tempted to on some of them not put like vegan mayo, but just like spicy mayo instead of
right
something like that, and to see if maybe they would elevate more that win, you know, right. with the Impossible right. patty. But then I was like, no, they're gonna make me a finalist and they bring me in. And I'm gonna have to eat it, and I'm not gonna eat it. And I'm gonna tell them no, right. it has to be vegan. Right. So then I said, no, I'm going to be true to my beliefs and what I want to be the winner. Okay. And so selected vegan for everything, or added vegan before all that stuff. I don't think that it's going to be selected, but here's what I hope. I hope that because they made a big deal out of adding the Impossible Patty as one of the options
right.
This year for the first time,
they're going to at least select. Or Impossible made a big deal out of it.
Maybe Impossible, maybe, but my hope is that they'll like get one version of the Impossible to be a finalist.
That'd be good.
So they can say that they brought one to become a finalist.
Right. And maybe if it would win, they would then make the omnivorous version of it as well. And you could just get,
you could just
swap out the patty. More likely to win though, than if it doesn't have all these specialty vegan ingredients. Because if you have to have vegan mayo on there, they're not gonna do that.
That's why I liked the southern one with the slaw and the fried green tomato.
Yeah, I think I like that too. Very good. Mm-hmm. A little weird though with a burger. I don't know why. It seems like an odd choice, odd combination. But who knows? Well, we'd have to make it, and you go in and try it out, and let us know how it is.
Yeah,
I actually had an Impossible Whopper on Sunday, St. Patrick's Day, after the soccer games, I think.
Yeah, sushi and Impossible Whoppers.
No, it wasn't that day. That's wrong. It was the day before. impossible. But it was the first one I've had in months since I've been kind of bashing it. Probably since I called for the end of it. I believe that is probably the first one I've had this year. Because I think I would have thought about that before or said so. So that was, I mean, it was good. It was typical, what you expect. And I like that it's there. I hope it doesn't go away, except that it would elevate me as a predictor of the future. And I also, one more thing, I had a frozen pizza, frozen vegan pizza with fake cheese on it, or fake, you know, whatever that vegan tapioca.
What kind?
Cheese. I can't remember the brand. It was not the Daiya ones. I skipped Daiya on purpose, stayed very far away from the Daiya pizzas because they're no good.
Did it have Beyond Meat on it?
No, it just had, it had some kind of vegan pepperoni, and it had, it wasn't even like a branded partnership. It wasn't like a Daiya cheese or anything like that. It was just vegan pizza. I forget the name of it, but anyway, it was actually very good. So this is the week where I eat all that junk because Aaron's not here. Minimal cooking happening. Not that she's the only one who cooks, but just with only one parent, you can only do so much when you have to get two kids to soccer practices and feed dogs and cats and all that stuff. All right. Let's get on with the show. Let's get into the weather report. I do not have the computer charged. It's one of the casualties of this situation where I'm on my own. Just not fully prepared. But here we go.
Before we do, if anyone wants to weigh in the burger that they would make, and I encourage you to submit it, because then maybe, even though you'll be my competition, I hope that the Impossible Whopper gets selected. I want to know what people would make. What kind of burger you'd make? If you could build anything and have it be in Burger King, what would it be?
All right. Tell us that. And you can go do it on the actual app, right? Download the BK app.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? The BK app?
The BK. Royal. I don't know.
Royal Rewards Program or something. All right, here we go. We mentioned vegan ads at the top of the show. That's related to the first weather report item, which is Oatly, who is known for their amazing ads. They have partnered with boutique fitness brand Barry's to introduce one of their latest products, the unsweetened oat milk, to fuel bar offerings within Barry's studios across the United States. So Barry's is a fitness spot. They have 84 studios in 14 countries. I've never seen a Barry's. Have you, Doug?
No,
I haven't either. And I guess within the Barry's comes a fuel bar, and that's where you get your fuel before, during, after your workout, I guess. And now they've got an oat milk product in there. And it's in addition to just having the ability to customize the shakes with the oat milk, they've got a special post-workout shake named That Shake with Oatly in it that will be available. That just sounds like Oatly had their hand in coming up with the name of that one. For sure, based on what I know about their advertising. Nothing too special here. I hope people will do this and choose that. I feel like that fitness crowd, well, I don't know what type of market Barry's targets. It's called Barry's Boot Camp. So it sounds like one of those, you know, they go after people who just like the fitness but don't really know that much about nutrition. And they just think regular old cow's milk is like the best post-workout thing you can have. So because of that, I just wonder are they going to do this? You think people will pick an Oatly drink?
I mean, maybe. Oat milk is such a big thing.
It is a big thing. And health conscious people, I think, do realize it's healthy. I just think around workouts, people are like, oh, I'm just going to get that fuel in me, get that cow's milk. But I don't know. Hopefully not. So there is that one. Over in the UK, cultivated pet food company Meatly, which used to be called Good Dog Food, they've unveiled what they say are the world's first cans of cat food made with cultivated chicken. They partnered with Omni, who's a leader in the UK plant-based pet food scene. This is all from Vegconomist, by the way. You can go check out that vegconomist.com to get all these sort of updates. Chicken pate, and they grew it with Meatly's cruelty-free meat grown from chicken egg cells. And it's going to be on sale to real people at Pets at Home. 150 gram tins, enough for a single meal at roughly £1 each, one British pound, as far as the cost goes. What's the cost of a British pound to a dollar, Doug? Do you know?
I don't.
That's not probably pretty close. Black Mountain Politics doesn't often deal with no, British pounds.
We're not usually converting much British okay. pounds. Are you looking it up?
Yeah, $1.27 is one British pound. So I mean, that's expensive cat food, but it's not crazy, right? It used to be that this cultivated meat idea was going to be 200 times or 50 times more than a regular steak or whatever when they talked about that a few years ago. And this is not that much, right? This might be double the cost of a normal cat food meal, but it's not, it doesn't sound.
Is that, I mean, how much does cat food cost?
I don't really know. We have a cat and I am not the one who makes the purchasing decision on that. I'm guessing it's about 50 to 75 cents for a meal.
Friskies is $17 for 24 pack. So, okay. I mean, that's not that much more expensive.
No, it's really not. I mean, I'd switch to that. If that was available here, I would totally do that for that.
Mm-hmm.
50 cents a meal to know that you're not involving any real chicken would be great.
Yeah.
Except cats eat fish, don't they? I mean, our cat only has fish stuff. So I don't know.
There's Friskies has salmon.
Yeah, I'm not interested in what Friskies has. Like, I'm talking about the
cold and a chicken feast. No, I know. But whatever Friskies selling, you know, cats are eating because that's like
right.
It has to be the most
right. Okay, so hopefully some cats do eat chicken and will eat this cultivated chicken. So yeah, this is great. I mean, this is potentially, we've said before, massive, massive market for cultivated meat because I think it comes without all these hurdles and health hurdles. Maybe there'll be people who say, I'm not feeding my cat that fake lab-grown stuff, only the best real thing for mine. But I think a lot more people can kind of say, well, it's nutritionally going to be the same as real chicken if it's grown. And for a cat, I'm willing to take the risk that maybe it's, you know, if somehow this turns out to be something that's unhealthy for us in the very long haul, you know, it might be worth the risk. I don't know. I mean, it might be if you're saving all these chickens by feeding it.
Yeah.
Right, for a human.
I mean, how long do cats live, right? Like 20 years?
I think something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, can't do that much damage.
How much can it do in 20 years? Yeah. So I think it's great. I mean, for real, even if people just reject the idea of cultivated meat and say mainstream audience does not want that, mm-hmm. they're not going to do it. This pet food, I would imagine, is a massive, massive market, and that could be great. So I like that idea. All right, Doug, up next, you're not going to like this one. It's from Dr. Khan. He shared it on Instagram some new research. It is observational research. It is not yet peer reviewed, so take all of it with a grain of salt, but is piling on to the mountain of evidence that is growing, saying that time-restricted eating strategies may not be as good as everybody has thought. They looked in this case at the 16-8 window where you eat for 8 hours and then don't eat for 16. I think very common, doesn't sound all that restrictive. It could be like an 8 a.m. to what? I guess no, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. kind of deal. But those who do that, they looked at 20,000 adults and they said, those who practiced 16-8 intermittent fasting were 91% more likely to have died from cardiovascular disease than those who didn't practice this type of fasting. So that's a whole lot. That's a math. It's almost 100% more. It's almost twice as much. Mm-hmm. So that's not good. They also had a 66% higher risk of dying from heart disease and stroke. And they said, in addition to that, they found no benefit to time-restricted eating on death risk in general. Or among people with cancer, those who did not practice fasting and consumed the daily calories over a 16-hour time frame instead of over 8 hours had a lower risk of cancer mortality than those who ate in the more restricted time frame. So they don't mention anything about weight loss, fat gain, or fat loss here because that's probably the short-term benefit people are most interested in rather than longevity. But I have heard this, you know, touted as a longevity thing. Like this is how we're kind of meant to eat and, you know, for a lot of reasons might be better for our long-term health. So this calls that into question along with some other recent research.
But if you, you know, if you lose a bunch of weight, aren't you at lower risk of cardiovascular or heart disease?
I would think so. Yeah.
So,
but they're included in this group. I mean, it's not right. It's already taken care of.
What do you mean?
I mean, the fact is that these 20,000 adults who were doing fasting, those who didn't do it, were 91% more likely to have died, regardless of.
Oh, I know. That's why it's surprising to me.
Oh, right. Right. So it must be doing something especially bad.
Right.
But, yeah. So who really knows? One issue I have though is like they said, those who died were 91% more likely to have died from cardiovascular. It's only 20,000 people. And it's from 2013 to 2018, this data. Like, how many of those 20,000 could have? Oh no, 2003 to 2018. Okay, that's different. So that's a lot more. I was thinking, really, how many people out of 20,000 could have died since since, you know, 10 years ago? Not that many. So they're talking about very small numbers here, but slightly more if we're talking about all the way back to 2003.
Years. Yeah. Well, I mean, this isn't good because I'm pretty much in that 16-8 time window.
You are.
I don't clock it or anything, but mm-hmm. I usually eat my first meal after the morning show, which is around noon, and I'm definitely done eating most nights by 8. So. Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of how it's happened, and I've liked it. Honestly, it just made me feel good.
Yeah.
But if it's at the risk of long-term health issues, then that's not good. That's not worth it.
Yeah, I mean, you're young enough and at an age still, or and have, I think, generally good enough heart health. I don't hear you complain about heart health very much. That you're probably good to do it for a while, but. I don't know. I've heard this before too. I've heard this thing about people who eat two meals a day instead of three, who skip breakfast. They definitely have a mm-hmm. shorter lifespan on average. So it is something.
Do you, what do you eat for breakfast? Lara bar?
No, I usually eat a little more than that. Sometimes grape nuts with a banana. Mm-hmm. Sometimes just some couple of pieces of fruit. Sometimes Lara bar. Yeah. Not very good. My breakfast is not. I don't know.
Because my problem is, like, if I were to eat when my kids eat before school, then I'm gonna be way more hungry. But like, I'm gonna need a snack before the morning show, mm-hmm. or something like that. You know, so a handful of nuts or something like that. I'm gonna end up eating quite a bit more. And maybe that's not a bad thing. Maybe that's what the body needs, right? But I'm gonna eat quite a bit more before noon or throughout the day, I guess, than I would if I did the fasting. And it's not for any reason other than it just, like, I feel better. I don't know. I feel good.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. I mean, you don't want to eat more calories in general. So I don't know. I don't have an answer. I think have a small snack. Maybe don't eat right when the kids get up. Eat it. Yeah. 10 or 9. I don't know. All right. And last bit of news here. Jeff Bezos has pledged $60 million towards establishing the Bezos Centers for Sustainable Protein as part of Bezos Earth Fund's $1 billion commitment to food transformation. They announced this at a big event, climate event. And they said, the spokesperson here said, we need to invent our way out of climate change and pursue advancements in technologies to find solutions for our future. They mentioned having to feed 10 billion people, you know, in the coming years. And they said, we can do it, but it will require a ton of innovation. So they're looking here at innovation in cell biology, engineering. So this is high tech, you know, plant-based and whatever the word is, cell or lab grown, yeah, cultivated mm-hmm. meat. So real investment going towards this thing, which is super interesting to me. I mean, it wouldn't be that interesting if this was just plant-based foods, cause I'm, you know, the plant-based meats, I'm so skeptical of people adopting that, but the lab grown thing, I don't know. I just think has such amazing potential. So good to see big money going into it. And we'll see what happens.
Do you think there'll be an Amazon Essentials version of a veggie burger coming out pretty soon?
Like it's a regular plant-based burger? Yeah, I would imagine, right? I mean, that'd be simple to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be made by this exact thing, but maybe. Yeah.
I don't know. I guess this is good. I mean, obviously it's good, right? Any sort of investment into plant sustainable protein. Is a positive thing, but it feels like 5 years too late or 5 years later than it should have been.
Yeah, maybe, but maybe not. Maybe with scale and all that, they can win and a lot of money. And maybe now they've waited, the other companies had to do the hard work of getting the approval and getting over the, you know, now it's de-risked because we know that the government will approve it. So maybe they just had to wait. I don't know. Bridger says, I think Whole Foods 365 already makes one and they are owned by Amazon. So that's close, right? Yeah. I think they do make a veggie burger. But is it Amazon Essentials? I don't know if it has that label on the website. Vegan Stallion responded to my earlier thing about people and, lab grown meat and saying it may be less healthy. He says, there's no reason lab grown meat would be any less healthy than animal based meat. They are literally making it the same. This is the scientific fact. And I don't know if that's true. I mean, I don't know a lot of the details, but I mean, I know they're growing it, but they're growing it in a different growth medium. It's a plant-based medium, and I just don't know. I don't know anything about the process, so I don't know. Even if the thing that comes out is the chicken molecule, I'd just be a little worried about how they grew it. I don't know. Am I crazy there, Doug?
I think you are a little crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I understand what you're saying, you know, and you have to wonder is because it's not growing inside a body of an animal that is doing all this other stuff and there's blood pumping through it and all these things, like if it somehow is just going to end up being like the end product is going to be slightly different, if there's going to be some sort of molecular mutation or something that is undetectable or I don't know what I'm talking about, but yeah, I mean, you have to wonder like if it's going to be the same, if it's really going to be the same thing, but I think it is. Mm-hmm. Like I think that they're paying a very close attention to that and ensuring that it is the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I sure hope so, right? I would love for that to exist and be something that I would feel comfortable eating as far as long-term health goes. So I'm not hoping that this doesn't work out. I really hope that is right. I just wonder about like the incentives and the motivations of companies. If the goal becomes grow the stuff as fast as you possibly can, and I'm sure that will be the goal, right? To make, you know, optimize the production. You just wonder what goes into the process. And then I don't know. We've talked about the same thing with the precision fermentation. If what comes out is molecularly identical, if you get the exact same molecule out, does that mean, you know, therefore its health impacts are exactly the same, or does the way that it was made somehow impact it? I have no idea. You would think that if it's molecularly the same, then it's going to be the same. But I haven't heard that about the cell-based lab-grown meat, that it is molecularly identical. I just don't know. I don't know anything about it. So who knows? Yeah. Unwarranted suspicion, says Vegan Stallion. And I think it's fair to say it's not really warranted. But I guess new things I'm just suspicious of because they're not time-tested. So I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Vegan Stallion also says, eat oatmeal every day for your breakfast. Make it your own. Put your favorite fresh seasonal fruits, nuts, plant milk, and ground flax on it. You are welcome. The problem, Vegan Stallion, is I hate oatmeal, so I'm not going to do that. But as far as a healthy choice, it seems like it probably is one. Doug, why don't you make oatmeal every day?
I like oatmeal. I don't know. I don't want to eat it every day.
Yeah, right.
All right. I mean, I got no problem with oatmeal. I would eat it probably every day.
Yeah. Good. Okay. Yeah. All right. Vegan Science says, I make Spanish tortillas with just egg and they are amazeballs. Think potato almond. Now this one I can agree on. This one I agree. Spanish tortilla is fantastic food. I don't use just egg. I use garbanzo bean flour and that with potatoes, and it is just great. But a lot of work. Now it's not an everyday breakfast by any means. All right. I thought I saw one more thing about Vegan Stallion and Whoppers. Oh, ashamed to say, I loved Whoppers. I mean, a lot of hot takes today from Vegan Stallion. I like this. I would definitely like to try an Impossible Whopper. What? No, nothing to say about that at all. Nothing wrong with that. I wonder if they're available only in select locations. I do think in the vegan community, there's a certain what's the word here, Doug? Shame. Associated with that, right? With saying, well, yeah, I go and eat the fast food vegan stuff. People in the health community, they body shame you. They food choice shame you for that.
Yeah, they shouldn't. Britters came up with a burger of her own. She would go Southwest style Whopper, jalapenos, avocado. Mm-hmm. Says the local vegan spot does one and it's delicious. Yeah, that'd be good. That's if right. I could have wrapped it in a tortilla. And that would, and sprinkled some crunched.
This is a Taco Bell
tortilla chips on top.
This is a Taco Bell. This is not a Burger King thing. All right. Hey, last bit I have in the research today for the show, I saw another thing said vegan restaurants start selling omnivorous food, and people are upset. And I thought, okay, another one of these. I don't care. And then I realized it was this restaurant in Wilmington that I went to at a soccer tournament. Summer and a half ago. They also have a brewery there, and they brew kombucha, not just beer. So a very cool, interesting spot. And I thought, that's interesting that place hit home, that they've decided to go omni. And, you know, the typical people upset. But one woman who said, the only person who responded for comment from whatever the news outlets was, they, you know, her family was full of like three vegans, a vegetarian, and omnivores. She said, this is fantastic for us. We love this. The vegan options are still there. So like, what are people mad about? I just don't get it. But, you know, the typical people saying they had turned on the vegan movement. and worries about cross-contamination, which is legitimate. If you are very worried about that, then obviously that makes the restaurant less likely to be a great fit for you.
All right. Kind of segues into the marketing one. Why don't we start with the banks?
All right, let's jump into that. So Veg News put this article out today. Kind of an interesting, strange article for Veg News, really, but I like it. It says, vegan food brands are channeling Banksy with radical political marketing. Can it change our food system? Do people know who Banksy is? Is that like...
Everybody knows who Banksy is.
Everyone knows Banksy? Okay. I didn't know. So obviously they're referring to these and mostly it's just ads that are made that are a little bit edgy, I guess. I don't really know. But the headline or the top of the article is all about what that company This does. You know, that This Isn't Meat or whatever it's called, that British brand. I think it's all capital mm-hmm. letters, THIS. And they replaced Van Gogh's at some point. We talked about this on the morning show. They replaced his famous sunflower painting in the Van Gogh Museum with this other one that had a little package of the This Isn't Beef mints there next to it. And now they've done it again by replacing his self-portrait. And I guess that's probably that's the famous Van Gogh self-portrait. They replaced
They're not it. Replacing it, are they?
Well, it says they placed...
Surely they can't.
They don't take that out.
Take it.
It's not Ocean's 11 or Ocean's 12 or whatever. It's heist paintings. They just put a replica in there. Version, he was wearing a red Trump-esque cap with the slogan "Make plant-based great again." Odd kind of thing to make it a Trump thing too. Like, I just don't. It just seems like they're talking to the wrong market there. I don't really get that. But anyway, they did it. They put this fake Van Gogh in the museum. I don't know where they put it. If they just hung it up on the wall, it sounds. I'm guessing they did. I was thinking they put this right in front of the other one and sort of in that way did replace it. But found a blank wall, put it up. And they said it was up for almost an hour before being removed. So by our calculations, thousands of people saw our masterpiece, which is like, who cares? But it doesn't do anything. But I guess if news covers it and all that, then it does. You know what? I don't like this stuff. I hate this stupid stuff. Like, I'm good with the ads and all that, but like, don't go be a nuisance to the museum. It's just stupid. It makes people not like vegan stuff. Doug, tell me I'm wrong about that.
So I don't like that brands are doing it personally. I mean, it's like buy my stuff, right? Which I mean, like I guess there's nothing wrong in my opinion with a brand being political or having, you know, standing behind some sort of moral stance that they're taking. I have no problem with that. But you know, like disrupting a museum that's, you know, I don't know. And like, playing tricks on people. I'm not crazy about that. And I think if there was an activist who was just behind it and there wasn't some brand associated with it, or you weren't promoting a specific product, then I'd be more interested in this type of mm-hmm. guerrilla marketing.
That does taint it a bit. Like if people were there to see culture and art and probably even paid money to go into this museum, it's just annoying that someone's going to come in there with what is an ad for a product and put that up on the wall. I don't know. It's just obnoxious to me. So I don't really like it. And you're right. If it was not a brand, I still wouldn't like it. I'd say, come on, you don't just do it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'd like it a little bit better. So I'm with you. All right. So then they went on.
But what do you think about, what do you think about brands being more edgy in general?
I think it's good. I mean, I'm not always going to like the ads, but no, I think it's mm-hmm. great. Like, I think advertising is, in general, still so boring. Like, almost all the decisions big brands make is just, you know, no, it just gets lost. So I think it's great. Be edgy with the stuff. It definitely makes people like you, not like you. Like, what's it called? Oatly. Like, I just hate their ads, and I just don't like it. But like, that's fine. It's not for me. It's for people who are going to like it. But you polarize people, and you get. You create 50% of people who love you and 50% hate, and now you suddenly at least you have 50% of people who like you, which is good mm-hmm. compared to having, you know, 99% of people not care about you. So I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
They went on to talk about more. And see, these other ones, this is not Banksy anymore. These are just ads. La Vie Plant-Based Bacon said, Britain's newest best faker. Sorry, Boris. And I didn't know who that was. I thought Boris Becker, the tennis player. That
Boris,
seems like
Boris, a, Boris Johnson, that, the former right. prime minister.
I read on. I found that it was former prime minister. Was he a faker in some way? I don't get that. What's that about?
I think people probably thought he was fake. He was. I don't know. He was very polarizing. He was the leader of the getting out of the EU, the Brexit.
Okay. So then that is that's better than the Trump as far as matching to the audience, right? Because this is an dunking on Boris a little bit. Whereas most people who eat the plant-based bacon probably are going to not like him if he had them leave the EU.
That would be true. Yep.
So what's with the Trump thing on the other thing? Why did they put a Trump hat on him? Saying make plant-based great again. Is it just because everyone will recognize that? I mean, it must be what it is.
Yeah.
But that's not the same audience.
No.
So I don't know. All right. So they did that one. Then there's this daring one. It says chicken is broken. Huge all capital letters with a period at the end. And then just a paragraph. And then hands holding a chicken. I mean, this is not even that edgy. I don't know. Just loud.
I like this ad.
You do?
No one can see it. But yeah, I mean, a big headline that makes you not realize it's a vegan company, you know, that just talks about the chicken industry. I mean, I think that's good. It's not Banksy at all.
Right. Right. No, it is. But yeah, still good. I mean, almost not even edgy. It's just like I said, loud. But I guess it works. Yeah. And then they mentioned what Oatly did get a mention in this. I had to search for their name. They said they are no stranger to making big statements with their marketing campaigns either. And apparently in 2022, they launched an ad campaign that showed kids smuggling oat milk into schools. So I don't know where, I guess we hadn't started our show just yet by that point, because we started, I think, in late 2022. So we missed that one, unfortunately. That would have been a nice day to talk about that. I don't get Oatly's. And we didn't talk about the Super Bowl ad, did we? After Super Bowl, I Googled and I found that they had run a Super Bowl ad in like 2021 or something, and then made t-shirts that said, "I really hated that Oatly ad" or something. I mean, that was the worst example I've seen yet of an Oatly ad. It was just a guy out in the field. If you Google Super Bowl Oatly commercial, it was just so bad. Wow, no cow. It was the theme of that one. I just don't understand.
What was he doing? He was just,
out of the big field. It was just, and I don't know what he did, but it was their CEO and he was just there. I have no idea.
I feel like he was doing something that was completely unrelated.
Oh, he was singing. I remember this. Singing Wow, No Cow.
Yeah. That's right.
I mean, what are they doing with that? it's just so terrible.
I mean, 3 years later, we're still talking about it. So, you know, that's something.
Yeah, I guess, and Oatly is succeeding, by some measures. Their stock price is down 99%, but they're
growing.
Yeah, a lot of people are drinking plant milk, and I think they're probably the leader of it. I'm not sure about that, but that's good. All right, so there you go. There's your Banksy thing, and that's it. We don't need to get to the other thing we had today, whatever that was. We'll save it for tomorrow. I don't know any response here from audience. Let's see. We Britters added another tidbit to the Britters file of fun facts. She then goes her favorite impressionist, and she has Starry Night tattooed on her upper left arm. That's a complicated tattoo because the whole background is colored. So like that would be a lot of ink going into your body and a lot of needle pain, I would imagine. That's cool though. I'd like to see that.
You post a photo in the Discord.
Yeah, please do that. I'd like to see what that looks like.
NoMeatAthlete.com/Discord.
Also seems hard to do any kind of detail like that on a tattoo. But I don't know. Nice painting. It's my take. No other responses about the ads. Nothing. Nobody cares about these ads, about these banks.
Nobody cares about the ads.
No.
Vegan Stallion says silk unsweetened soy milk for the win. That's our go-to in the house right now.
Is that right? So as I was saying, Oatly is probably the leader. I really totally missed that. You know, there are huge companies out there that have been doing it a lot longer.
So delicious.
Right. So that might be wrong. Oatly might be the fastest growing, but they certainly may be not the biggest. I don't know. Oat milk is good. There's no doubt about it. That is the plant milk winner for sure. Oh, but that silk is not oat milk, right? That's soy milk.
I mean, they might have an oat milk too, but we get the soy milk. Yeah.
Hmm. I'm surprised people are still drinking that and liking it now that oat milk is out. I don't know why. I just kind of think, and I know, you know, vegans in general kind of aren't susceptible to the whole soy is terrible for you thing. But it just seems like now that oats have come in and can replace that, that people, you know, will flock to that because they'll think, oh, well, soy is bad. I'll just go to that. So I would think that that market would sort of shrivel up, but apparently not among the vegans. Now, our audience, they still like it, except for Mr. Jeffrey, who likes the silk oat milk.
How much protein is in oat milk? Like if you're putting it in your cereal or something.
I don't know. Soy milk has a decent amount, right?
Soy milk does, yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, here we go. Here's a Healthline article comparing soy milk and oat milk. Don't know what companies, but protein, 9 grams for soy milk, 4 grams for oat milk. A little bit more, or a lot more fat, 5 grams versus 1.5 grams in soy milk. And a little bit more calories. But other than that, it's kind of...
The protein is about the same? I wasn't listening. Sorry.
Protein is 9 grams for soy and 4 for oat milk.
Okay.
Carbs so is five for soy and 14 for oat milk. I don't know. I just the like unsweetened soy milk to me is kind of like, you know, if you're not frothing it or something like that, it's just a really
just nice, the best taste.
Well, nice one to add to cereal. We were big almond milk fans for a long time, but
yeah, that's what happened to us. We went on the almond milk train and we never got off it. I don't even love almond milk. It has an almond taste that I don't really like that much. We just get that Whole Foods almond milk, whatever that one is. I don't know if it's 365 or what, but their unsweetened almond milk has been our thing forever. And I don't know. I might need to switch it up. I need to try the silk soy. Everyone loves it. Kelly K says silk soy unsweetened plain is the best.
There you go.
No carrageenan, I assume, right? They got rid of that a long time ago.
I don't know.
Amory says Trader Joe's oat milk here, just 2 ingredients. That's pretty good.
Wow.
Yeah, and Ali says soy is the healthiest, in my opinion. Most new information says soy is best. That's good. Mm-hmm. Good to hear.
Yeah. I don't know. It just tastes the best. And we do oat milk for like lattes. That's pretty much all we use oat milk for.
Mm-hmm. And Vegan Stallion, one more controversial take. I actually don't believe we need to worry about protein as long as we get sufficient calories, but I still like the soy. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I felt that way too 5 years ago or so. I would have said exactly the same thing, right? There's never cases of protein deficiency without malnutrition or caloric deficiency. But more and more recently, especially in older age, but even for younger people, it seems like protein starting to be associated with health. So I'm not sure where I stand on that one yet. I'd either disagree or agree, just agnostic.
So the reason I am caring about protein right now, I mean, I do think there's lots of longevity benefits to protein at the moment, or that are, you know, that are coming more clear through research. But so my kids drink way more of this milk than I do because they eat cereal and will actually have a glass of milk sometimes. And so for them, I definitely care about the protein. And then for myself, the way I'm drinking it most frequently right now, because I'm not really eating much cereal, but I usually... After the show, we'll go make a small little protein shake with about half soy milk, half water, protein powder, complement protein, chocolate protein, and then a little bit of creatine in there. And I want the protein helps with the creatine absorption.
Okay. Makes sense. Yeah, I just don't know about the health thing. I just like whenever I see protein linked to longevity, it appears to be doing so because it helps with maintaining muscle mass and increasing muscle growth.
Right.
But that becomes only really important, I think, in old age when you become susceptible to falls and things like this and frailty in general. So it's like, am I really going to, for the next 30 years until I get to that point, maybe not in 30 years, 20 years, am I really going to try to maintain muscle mass all that time, you know, at the expense potentially of health? I don't know. But also, you know, cost and having to eat more food and all this stuff. Like, why not just wait till I'm 60 and then start eating more protein? Which some people do recommend. They say once you're older, that's when you need more protein. So,
yeah. I think that's the advice, right? Is at 65, I think, is the age that they recommend higher protein.
Yeah. I mean, at some point in Aldridge, I don't know how it would exactly land on 65. That seems odd that it would exactly coincide with the retirement age. But, you know, when you're older, you should get more protein for sure.
No, there's something biological that happens at age 65.
Yeah, when you have to retire, then for the same mechanism causes you to have eating. Okay.
Yep. That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right. And last question I have, do you ever just like drink a glass of soy milk or plant milk at all? Like people, I don't know, when I was a kid, we did it all the time. You drink a glass of milk, maybe with dinner, maybe just.
No.
I don't either.
Never do. The kids do though. I mean, they had it last night, for example. They asked for it. Yeah.
With dinner, or just separate?
Yeah. We never just like serve it up. You know, it's not like, because as a kid, I used to drink a glass of milk with probably most meals, but certainly dinner. And it would just be served. It would be the like standard thing that my parents served me. We don't ever do that. But if they ask for it, we'll make them one. Sometimes they like it froth. Sometimes they just like it cold. Yeah. So they drink it last night. I was last night I shared a photo in the water cooler in our Slack channel, team Slack channel, of I gave my three-year-old a jar of nutritional yeast and walked away for about 10 seconds and came back and half the jar was emptied on top of her pasta and she was just going to town with this giant smile on her face. It's like just like this mound of nutritional yeast. But right next to her was a glass of milk, and I was wondering if somebody was gonna ask about that. No, we did.
Okay. Did you let her eat all that nutritional yeast? Maybe she has like a B12 deficiency and her body was just saying, get this fortified food. Like
needed it, yeah.
Like a pike. No, like
her older sister was egging her on. So she was like, I bet you can't finish it. You know, I challenge you to finish it. We were like, no, I don't think that's a good idea.
No, I don't either. All right. Well, that does it for our show. Doug, really quick. We have 124 people here supposedly watching live, 103 of which are from X/Twitter. I have a theory about that number, Doug. I don't think that the Twitter number ever declines in the course of the show. So I wonder if it's counting total views, people that come and just leave. And it's acting like they're still here. So we need to keep an eye on
that. That would be an Elon Musk thing to do, you know. Try to bulk the stats up. Get us interested in X again. I think
probably more of a restream counting issue.
No, I don't think so.
X is probably.
I think that's an Elon thing.
Okay.
All right. Now we're interested in X. We're gonna start going there, we're gonna start posting. It's all because fake stats.
You're right.
No, I'm just kidding. That's what it is. But no, I'm
glad. Numbers going up as we speak.
Yeah, you're right. mention Elon and you automatically get boosted. No, I think I'm just glad people are here. I appreciate everybody coming. The best place to watch it by far is on YouTube. That's where all the comments are happening. So if you are on Twitter right now, next week, tomorrow, head over to YouTube, youtube.com/NoMeatAthlete.
Yes.
No Meat Athlete.
Watch I think it. We need a sign in the background, like just a classic old school like poster board right on my wall in the corner behind me, and it's going to say go to youtube.com/NoMeatAthlete for the real show, and it'll just be there all the time, and that way, you know, all the platforms see it.
Love it. Sounds great.
Yeah.
You should do that. Maybe have your daughter create one.
Okay. I'll do that. I'll do it one day. We'll see what happens. Okay. That's all. Long show today. Sorry about that, everyone. Hope you didn't mind. We'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully I will get my feet under me a bit, get this solo parenting thing more underway, get the sound machine plugged in and be a little more with it, because today felt a little hectic, but we saved it. So it's all right. Thank you for all the attendance, all the good comments. They definitely make it easier on a day when I feel a little off. Tons of engagement, which is fantastic to see. All these numbers may be fake, but the engagement, the talking, in the comments, that is real. There's no way to fake that. No AI can write human text like that. It's not possible. So this is real. So thank you for all that.
It's funny though. Mr. Jeffrey wrote, me drink milk soy. So I don't know. That does sound a little fake.
He didn't really, did he?
He's kidding. Okay. No, I'm just kidding.
All right. That's it. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, everybody.
Not yet. No, but it's just, can we make plant-based morning show coffee mugs? We have that in the works. I have the designs hidden on my computer, just waiting to be unearthed. We just never followed through with it for some reason. But we should get those out.
We should, yep.
We haven't even discovered.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.